We have a quorum, all members present except Member Rutherford, who is absent, excused.
Member Dearman, I believe you have the board goals.
Yes. Madam Niskasitna Borough School District's vision, mission, beliefs, values, goals, and objectives. Vision. Matsu Borough School District will be a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. Mission. Matsu Borough School District prepares students for success. Beliefs. We believe that all students can and want to learn. Success breeds success. The needs and best interests of students drives all decisions. Stakeholders' participation is crucial to student success. Core values, stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, efficiency, respect, collaboration, commitment. Goals. We will improve student success, achievement, and performance by focusing on their career and college readiness. We will increase the graduation rate. Our schools will welcome families and community members in the education of our youth. We will create and maintain a safe and healthy environment for all students and staff. Annual objectives, accountability, assessed by quarterly metrics and timelines.
Thank you. We would like to ask our new school board member, Ms. Tiffany Scott, to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I move to approve the agenda.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection? All right, we will move right ahead to persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Madam Clerk, will you read the rules?
Public comment pertaining to education on non-agenda items is limited to 3 minutes per person per meeting. There will be up to 1 hour for persons to be heard. Public comment on agenda items will be taken at the time the item is considered. This is your opportunity to be heard, and the board will not respond to any of your comments. As per Board Policy 1312, individuals testifying may not discuss complaints against individual employees. Specifically, the speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributed to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard, or may be handled in executive session, or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designate or take the issue under advisement. And we have a maximum of 1 hour per meeting, and this is the first half hour. And we have no one signed up for the persons to be heard.
Is there anyone who would like to be heard by the board at this time? Come forward.
Hi, my name's David. Excuse me, you got that timer going yet? Oh, good. And thank you very much. I know you have a lot to do. I just wanted to let you know that Fireside Books, which I happens to own me, is sponsoring a celebration of the 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address, which was actually Tuesday, but we're going to do it Saturday. We're encouraging people to dress up either like Abraham Lincoln or his wife, and to recite or read the Gettysburg Address. And there'll be rewards based on that, gift certificates and so forth. And we have one of your high school students, teachers, will be judging that. And so y'all are invited, and it's kind of fun to see you all again. So that's it. Plenty of time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak before the board? All right. Seeing no one who would like to speak before the board at this time, we do have a second chance toward the end of our agenda. So we're going to move on to administrative reports. Dr. Promo.
Thank you, Madam President. This evening, the administrative report will be an update on the teacher evaluation system and provide a report for that. As you know, the Department of Education and Early Development has passed some, not really legislation, but administrative code to revamp the evaluation systems in the state of Alaska, and this was part of the NCLB waiver that the state of Alaska received from the federal government. The update is just the work that's done thus far, and within the presentation you will note that probably the most controversial issue in regard to assessments is not set yet, because the state has not set the assessments. And so we will share the work of the committee thus far, and the two folks on the committee that will be presenting are Catherine Gardner, the Director of HR, and our Teacher of the Year for FY13, Brandy Bishop from Houston Middle School.
Thank you, Dr. Promo, President Pauger, and members of the board. We're very excited to be talking with you a little bit today about the work that has been concluded, or still in process, really, with the Teacher Evaluation Committee. As Dr. Promo mentioned, there's a lot of work still to do. And so what we are going to talk with you about is what we've accomplished thus far. I'm going to provide some information regarding what has really pushed our efforts forward in terms of why these changes are being made from a regulatory stance, and then we're free to answer any questions that you may have. The one thing I do want to explain to the board is we're going to speak pretty broadly this evening about what the changes that we're making are. The specific procedural changes that will be happening, we will be bringing before the board probably in January, as it will require some policy revision, and we will talk with you about what all of those changes are when we bring the policy before you to review and hopefully adopt. So in trying to put some of this into context, there are several layers of rules that exist that govern the teacher evaluation system. And those all start with Alaska statute. Underneath the statute, we've got the Alaska Administrative Code, and then the Board Policy and District Administrative Regulation that also provide additional clarity. But what's important to understand, and why I bring this up, is that the Alaska statute has not changed. So the changes that we are working from that were sort of imposed by the state and made at the state level were not by the state legislature. The Alaska statute has not changed. It's staying the same. And to understand the things that we are still working under that will continue is that the statute determines that the evaluation system is based on observations. That isn't going to change. It's in place now and will continue. In addition, the state of Alaska has adopted standards for teachers. And those standards, and that the evaluation is based on those standards, are established in statute and again won't change. We've also got in Alaska statute minimum observation requirements, which we have in the past exceeded and will continue to do. There is an allowance that we take advantage of in the Mat-Su School District that teachers who have been working for us for an extensive period of time and have been able to demonstrate mastery of the standards that exist don't have to be evaluated every other year. Don't have to be evaluated every year, but can be evaluated every other year. That allows for administrators to have additional focus time with new teachers who need the additional support and attention. In addition, there is required in Alaska statute a plan of improvement be implemented when standards are not met. That requirement also continues, as well as the opportunity that must be provided to stakeholders to give input not only on a teacher's evaluation, but on the system that we use. So those requirements exist currently. We've accounted for them in the evaluation system we're using now, and those, all of those things are going to be continuing forward. The administrative code is really kind of the regulatory body that's had significant changes. The administrative code is adopted by the state school board in work in connection with the Department of Education. And what we've tried to do is summarize for you some of the key changes. There are a number of other changes that we're going to be working with, but these are really the nine that have the greatest impact on teacher evaluations in the system that we'll be using. So the first is there was an addition of cultural standards. Now, we have standards that exist right now that speak to culture, and so these new standards provide additional descriptors, additional clarity, but really they're already embedded in the standards that we're using, and we'll be able to continue showing that those are being met, and we've incorporated some new steps in the evaluation process as we move through. The second change that was proposed are new standards based on student data. As Dr. Paramo stated, this is work that's very much still in process. There are some things that we can start to look at, and some of those efforts will begin this spring, but there are a number of things that we cannot do or formally or finalize until the state has made some determinations on the system of assessment that they will be selecting. One of the measures is to be adopted by the commissioner, so there's still some waiting that we'll have to do until some of those decisions are made. The third change, which will affect us quite a bit, is a required rating scale. Currently, all teachers are evaluated on the standards that exist, and they're given a rating of having met the standard, needing improvement on the standard, or that they do not meet the standard. We have basically a three-part rating scale. Well, the state, through the adoption of the new administrative code, is going to be requiring that we have a four-point, basically, rating scale, and that the descriptors for that are that a teacher is exemplary, proficient, basic, or unsatisfactory in each of the standards. In addition to ratings that are concluded on each of the standards or criteria that the district will adopt, we have to determine an overall rating for the for each teacher. That is a new step. Right now, we provide ratings on the standards, on the criteria. Now we have to take those and develop a mechanism for having an overall rating for the teacher. In addition, the state's provided some requirements in terms of how we conduct that rating, in that in the 2015-16 school year, 20% of that overall rating must be based on student learning data. That escalates to 50% in FY 2019 or the 18-19 school year. So we have time to prepare. We're going to be actively working on it, but again, this is one of the steps that's very much still in process. The sixth item that really was identified as a major change was the use of a nationally recognized framework. Now, the state did not require the use of a framework, but the state does require that they approve whatever system we put in place. And they said from the beginning that they would approve one of the three nationally recognized frameworks. So we took a look at all of those, and I've got information on what we'll be recommending later on in the presentation, but really the push was to adopt a nationally recognized framework, and so that is something that I'll talk a little bit more in detail about as we go through. One of the steps that caused a lot of discussion for us internally as a school district at the administrative level was the addition of what's being called a plan for professional growth. You saw on the last slide that Alaska statutes requires a plan of improvement when a teacher's not meeting the standards. Well, a plan for professional growth is essentially a plan that precedes the plan. It is a structured assistance program that has to be offered to teachers before they're put on a plan of improvement. So we've had a lot of discussions internally about how to basically accommodate an additional step in providing some structured assistance to teachers who are struggling. Also, we have new reporting requirements, which will have to be taken care of at the state level. So earlier on, I talked a little bit about this overall rating that is new that we'll have to do. Well, In addition, we have to report the overall rating of all of our teachers to the state in terms of numbers and percentages. So essentially, we'll be reporting the number of teachers who are exemplary, proficient, basic, and unsatisfactory, and what percentage of our teaching force that makes up. And then finally, a change that exists. Right now, training is required, but the state has gone a little bit further to say that the training must account for inter-rater reliability. So no longer is it just mandated that training occur on an annual basis, but that we have built in to our training process some method for accounting for consistency, so that what's exemplary in one school is exemplary in another, and so on. So now that you have some understanding of the changes, I wanted to talk a little bit about the development process that the district went through. We started with what we have called the district steering committee. And the steering committee was made up of district level administrators who really have oversight on their overall process and final review of what's recommended before we take it to the school board. And that committee started with getting the scope of the work that the evaluation committee would do, and they'll be reviewing all of the documents and processes once the evaluation committee's work is completed. Most of the time that we've spent in reviewing this process has happened at the evaluation committee level. And that is a committee made up of teachers, a broad spectrum from elementary, middle, and high school. We've had teachers representing a variety of subject areas as well as special education. We also have principals from each of our levels who are serving on the committee, including alternative schools, and then district level administrators who have all come together to take a look at all of the changes and that are being required for us to review, and also to take a look at some of the parts of our system that we know are dated and need to be updated. The work that we expect to begin in the spring and to continue on through next year is the work that will be done by student learning data work groups. And basically, part of the regulations not only mandate that we incorporate student learning data into the evaluation system, but that we work with a group of educators to develop what that data looks like and how it's going to be used. And so we will be, this spring and all through next year, before the timeline by which we have to have things implemented, start working with committees of teachers and administrators to make sure that we can identify the data that we're going to be using and how that's going to be used. Is your hand raised? Okay. You're going to save them to the end for me. No problem. Either way. So just to review kind of broadly some of the recommendations of the evaluation committee, is there were three nationally recognized frameworks that the state said that they would adopt without requiring additional review, basically. And they were the work of Charlotte Danielson, the work of Robert Marzano, and then there is an evaluation framework that comes out of the state of Washington. We spent quite a bit of time looking at each of the frameworks that are out there, and the committee decided to use Charlotte Danielson's Enhancing Professional Practice. It is a research-based program. It had very clear descriptors of what teaching looks like. It was a system that we also had a lot of discretion to modify. So it wasn't something that we had to take and adopt as a whole without the ability to change it and make it work for our system. So that's really kind of the key reasons why we went with Charlotte Danielson's work. Now, one of the things that has been difficult for people to understand as we've talked about these changing evaluation system is the connection between what is a framework and how does that relate to standards. Because I thought we had standards and the evaluation is based on standards. Now you're talking about a framework. What is that? And basically, the easiest way to describe it is that a framework is really our method for describing the standards. It provides us with rubrics that help us describe teaching, and they're broken down by exemplary, proficient, basic, and unsatisfactory. And we've connected the components and the descriptors that exist under the framework back to the teaching standards. So really what it is for us is its description of what those standards look like, and they're written in a way that are very easy to understand and very easy to identify. In addition to the recommendation on the framework, the committee has gone through all of our processes. So we've taken a look at the timelines that exist. We've taken a look at the minimum standards that are set for when someone is considered to be unsatisfactory versus exemplary, when we would look at a plan for improvement, and when someone's eligible for an evaluation every other year. We've taken all of those things, and we've made recommendations onto what those should look like. Those recommendations and those details are what we'll be bringing before the board when we do the policy review in January. So I'm not going to get into a lot of that detail now, but basically the system looks as much as we could similar to what we had before. And we did that so that some of the language would be consistent. It would help people understand the system. It wasn't totally brand new. We were taking the things that had worked for us in the past and continuing those on and changing the pieces that we needed to. But essentially, we have procedures that we'll be presenting in four key areas: for non-tenured teachers, for tenured teachers, for teachers who are going to require a plan for professional growth, and those who may require a plan of improvement. So those procedures will be coming back before you with additional detail in January. Really what I want to spend some time talking about, though, is what are the meaningful changes for the Mat-Su School District? Because we've had an opportunity to share with you what we were required to change. What did the state say you have to incorporate? What did the state say you're going to do this? But we also took a lot of time in evaluating the system to find some meaningful changes for the Mat-Su School District. And some of those came because of the things that the state was pushing us to do, but some of them we recognized internally. And really, if we could narrow down what I think the biggest meaningful changes are for our school district and what that will look like, is a shift in responsibility of the evaluation system. Right now, a principal conducts observations, they complete an evaluation that's given to a teacher, and that really encompasses most of the process. We want to take and make teachers not necessarily more accountable, but more involved in the evaluation system, and we've set some things in motion with the processes that we're recommending to allow that to happen. And it's not a matter of teachers having additional say necessarily in the final assessment. We recognize that administrators are the individuals tasked with making the assessments on teachers' performance. We're just working with teachers so that they have a more active role in the information that's provided as part of the evaluation process. We've also tried to take the process and make it less reliant on what we call an evaluation narrative. So most of the evaluation, the final document, consists of a narrative that's written by an administrator. And that narrative is going to be based on the work that teacher has done all year and what the principal has observed. What we'd like to do instead than having each principal be required and sit down and write something that they think describes the teaching that person has done all year, we want it to be more a show of what that teacher has done all year through the submission of artifacts and the observations that have been completed. So it's going to look at self-reflective documents that we have developed. It's going to look at the student learning data once that component becomes embedded. It's going to look at the lesson plans and the parent reports home and all of the things that the principal and the teacher work on together that will be part of that evaluation. It's going to be more a compilation of those things and not just a simple paragraph that's written by one person at the end of the process. In addition, we've done a lot to try to refine the procedural requirements that exist. There are some unnecessary steps in our process that as the district has evolved and as the teaching profession has evolved, don't necessarily serve the same purpose. So we've found ways where we can eliminate unnecessary steps and put that work back into the process on regular, more meaningful feedback. So there are lots of steps in the process where that required a conference, where the teacher and the administrator would sit down and have a formal conference. Well, what we want to do is we want to give access to the teacher to feedback right after the observations are occurring. So we're requiring some more feedback to be given to the teacher, and there'll be a review at the end of the evaluative cycle on those things, but it's no longer focused on individuals having to come together to do a conference. It's how we've tried to account for some time that will be built into the process and put it back on more regular, routine, meaningful feedback. So to talk with you a little bit about a different perspective, I represent one perspective and I'm presenting to you from my work on the committee, but Brandy Bishop, who's, as Dr. Promo said, is a teacher at Houston Middle School, is also going to share some of her feedback on what she's experienced through this process, some of the things that she's excited about, and some of the things that she believes that we are accomplishing through the changes that will be coming before the board.
Hi. I am on the committee, and I was very excited to be asked to be on the committee because one of the things I did write in my Teacher of the Year application a year and a half ago was that I believe teachers needed to be held more accountable for what we do in the classroom. And the way that we're accountable is not whether kids like us or not, but what the data shows, what they learn. And the only way we know what they learn is what the data shows. So there are two things that I like about this process. I like that teachers are involved. Sorry, the microphone's a little weird. That teachers are involved in the process. I like the standards that are set up in the Danielson model. It's a growth model. It gives me a rubric to know how to become better. I feel like I'm more in charge of the evaluation versus set a goal and you sign off or putting on the pony show. Your administrator says, I'll be in on Tuesday. What's your best class period? And you say third. And it's great. There's no honesty in that process, and I've never valued it. I think this process has value. I think teachers will really be able to show what they do. The student data part, I know people are concerned about, but many of us are already using the data to guide our instruction. I live by map data. I look at it constantly. So people that aren't using it, we just need to make sure that we train them and support them and help them. There's no fear in the data. I do have kids that go down. I admit it. I mean, I work really hard, but I do have kids that don't make gains. It doesn't mean I'm a bad teacher, and it doesn't mean I'm going to lose my job. It means I can be honest about what I do and grow. If I don't look at what's happening, how do I get better? How do I change? How do we have kids learn? And I really, really believe this whole process is going to give teachers value. I think it's going to make them feel better about what they do. I think it's going to change the way teachers are and the way they work.
So one of the questions that was asked as we were preparing the presentation tonight is, all of this sounds good, but what does it cost? Because it's got to cost a lot. And so we've tried to come up with the expenses that we believe we have essentially had to date, or those that we know are coming in the very near future. So the committee work that's been done right now is been through the work of about 9 individuals who have had to leave the classroom, and we've had expenses to replace them with substitutes. In general, that cost has been roughly around $7,000. Now, I don't know yet what that's going to look like over the next year and a half, because we haven't established who's going to be on the committees to do the student data work, so I haven't tried to project that. But the work that this committee has done over the last year, is that's the rough dollar figure that we've spent. We will have administrative training costs. Some of those have already been experienced. We're purchasing materials. We're purchasing books. We're purchasing DVDs. We'll have some training expenses for having principals come here. We know that we need to do more on training, and this is going to be a really key thing in making this system work well, is the training that we'll have to do for administrators. So all of the materials and the time that either have been purchased or we expect to be purchased over this next year, that's a rough estimate of what we're thinking. Now, it doesn't mean that it's only operating dollars that are going to be used to fund some of these things. We do have access to grant funds, not necessarily targeting this evaluation change, but that we can work through professional development to cover. And then we also have software that will be required for this to work smoothly and to be able to accommodate the reporting requirements that we will have to the state. And so we have a system we know right now will work, and the cost to change the system to incorporate the things that we need is about $10,000. We haven't decided that that's the system we'll be using, but that's an estimate so that you understand these are really the three main areas where we anticipate having costs. So outside of this, really the next thing is to talk about what the next steps are. No process is perfect, and no process alone is really going to make meaningful change. We have to continue to promote evaluation as a method of improving instruction. So we have momentum, I think, right now with the work that the committee has done, and people are looking at the evaluation process as something that can be really positive. But we have to continue doing that, and we have to continue doing that by putting teacher evaluations really at the forefront and making sure we allow time for them to be done meaningfully, and that we require that they be a point that people are looking at pretty routinely. In addition, there's training that's going to be provided to teachers and administrators. A lot of that training is already happening. We have a number of schools who are sponsoring what we call flights, and they're basically individual learning communities that are talking about the Charlotte Danielson work and what the framework looks like. So a lot of that is already in process and will continue. We are also working to develop administrative tools to make this process run smoothly and to give administrators some of the things that they need in order to be able to go out and pilot it and make it work. Things like observation documents, walkthrough documents, goal-setting support documents. We're continuing to do those things.
We also need to finalize the components that are going to apply to individuals who are not working as classroom teachers. So Charlotte Danielson has some guidance for us in that area. That was another reason why we liked the work that she had done. But we need to finalize those and then roll those out. The procedural steps will stay the same. We just need to make sure that the components are appropriate and consistent with the things that we have. And then we'll continue to prepare for and incorporate the student learning data. That'll be a long process. That'll require a lot of work. Like I said, we've started. We're continuing to work on it. And for the Matsu School District, looking at data isn't necessarily a new thing. So there's a lot of information that we already have that we've already been looking at that we'll be able to draw on. And we'll just be able to continue those efforts with through the rest of this school year and into next school year, also feeding on the information and the directives that the state provides once they've had an opportunity to finalize what they're going to be looking at. That really is the summary of the work that we've been doing and the changes that we have, and so I would be happy to answer any questions at this point.
Mr. Larson.
Got too much stuff up here. Instead of questions tonight, would it be possible, because just your presentation brought about a dozen questions to mind, that we could have a workshop in the spring sometime to go over this, to really understand this process and ask questions then?
I think in January they will be bringing forward a few policy changes to us, so maybe we would be looking at a workshop in January, a work session.
A work session. And what I perceive in the work session is this whole presentation to go back over piece by piece and to be able to ask questions about them, because from the first slide to the last slide, I would like to understand it a little bit better and ask a few questions if I could. But I don't want to take up all the time tonight to do so. I think a work session would be in order.
I think a work session is fine, especially when we have things coming before us in January. And I appreciate your brevity. Member Dearman.
Yes, I'll be brief. Ms. Gardner, if I could ask just two points of clarification. When you spoke on the aspect of a compilation of artifacts and observation,
yes,
would that mean that a teacher would have to compose a portfolio of sorts to have at the end of the year when it came time for their observation?
Essentially, yes. It will be very structured. So the process will work so that at the beginning of the year, the teacher and administrator will sit down and identify those artifacts that will be submitted at the end of the evaluative cycle. So the teacher is not going to have to try to, oh no, it's the end of my evaluation time, I've now got to put all this portfolio together. There are going to be things that are routine as part of their practice already, and we're just asking that they provide them, and they may have timelines by which they would provide those. And so some of the things that we're looking at would be lesson plans, the very routine that a teacher already has that they're just going to be able to submit it or put it in a place where the principal has access. Parent home letters, so if there's a letter that they send home, you know, elementary schools do a lot of parent newsletters, so they are going to incorporate an example of that newsletter. We might be looking at some of the information that they put on their website. If as we continue to use that as a mechanism for communication in the district, we'll want to see some examples of that. So it's not as though we're going to be asking them to put together a portfolio. We're just going to be asking them to submit the things that they're already doing for review and that it's all in one place so that it can be reviewed together.
So it's routine things that will be submitted.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then another question. You said meaningful feedback. There is an aspect of meaningful feedback. I think that was on the same slide with the compilation of artifacts.
Yes.
This is something then that's going to go on the entire school year, which would mean then that the administrator, the site administrator, would be making more visits in those classrooms than just that year-end spot visit, here's your evaluation.
Absolutely. So if I may just provide you with a specific example that we spend a lot of time talking about. Right now, our process requires that there's a full period formal observation. Mm-hmm. And that observation is supposed to be a full class period or usually 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. So that the principal has to have a pre-conference where they meet with the teacher and they talk about expectations for what's going to go on in the lesson. And then our process provides for a post-observation conference. Then they have the evaluation conference. Well, what we're realizing is that nobody's really doing the post-observation conference. Those things are just rolled into the evaluation conference. So we're saying, let's talk about what really needs to be a full period observation, because a lot of the feedback we've been getting is 45 minutes maybe is a really long time. And maybe you can get all the same information you need in 30 or in 20. So we've looked at what those time requirements are for being in the classroom, and then we're requiring that feedback be provided to the teacher in writing within 48 hours. So you don't have to try to work at your schedules and coordinate a meeting where you both sit together and you go through all of these documents, but that the principals are going to be in the classrooms more regularly, and after every visit to the classroom, they're going to be providing some method or form of feedback. It doesn't have to be a sit-down conference. It can be simple. It can be easy. It can be the submission of the form that we use to do the walkthrough, but we want that feedback to be happening with relevant information and in a really timely way. So right after that observation occurs, not 3 months later when you finally get around to having the conversation.
Okay, thank you.
Member Williams.
I was wondering if the Danielson model included student evaluations, and if so, if the committee was considering using them or including them.
The state of Alaska actually requires that we have a mechanism for allowing students as well as parents and community members and other stakeholders to provide feedback. We have survey forms right now. We've not finalized those survey forms, but we do have every intention of modifying them so that it includes the language from the Danielson model. I believe she does have some examples in her book that we could adopt. We haven't set which ones we will be using yet, but we will have forms for students to use. And one of the artifacts that we've talked about, and actually one of the changes in the regulation that we will be taking advantage of, is not only the ability for students to actively go to the principal, ask for the form, fill it out on their own, but to have part of the process that students are regularly asked for their feedback and have a mechanism to provide it electronically is actually what's in the regulation. It doesn't even have to be on paper anymore.
Member Larson.
Yeah, just one follow-up question on the last questions. Most everything's going to be electronic anyway, is it not? Teachers, they're going to put most everything that they do electronically, so they'll have it in folders, so they won't have to, they could submit the folder for...
Our intention will be to make... this as much a digital process as we can. It allows for everyone to have access to the information they need without trying to maintain multiple copies. It also allows for principals to be able to go into classrooms, note their feedback digitally or electronically, and then submit it to the teacher even when they're walking out the classroom door. So our goal will be to digitize this and make it electronic as much as we can. Some of that's going to have to happen over time because we'll have to develop some of our systems to be able to account for this. But our intention will be to make this electronic, absolutely.
Which would include gradebook, iParent, iStudent. All that will be pushed pretty heavy to become electronic.
We've talked a lot about looking at the components of the gradebook and iParent and iPlan, and that some of that would be very appropriate artifacts to submit in terms of looking at frequency and fidelity with the use of those programs, that those could be appropriate artifacts.
Yeah, because the only, and I won't go any further, but the only thing I keep thinking about is a student that doesn't perform for one reason or another, because who knows, issues with the parent or anything, to show that digitally, you've been, as a teacher, talking to that parent, talking to that child, sending it home and getting either bad feedback or no feedback would indicate that child's non-growth or non-increase in performance, or, you know, that kind of stuff.
I think some of that's probably in place right now, regardless of the evaluation system. But certainly, some of those things that you're talking about could be submitted as part of our process.
Because 50% of the evaluations can be performance.
Student learning data.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And, but that learning data is still that conversation about the standards and the learning data. You know, we had a teacher who is our teacher of the year who says, I have kids who don't improve sometimes.
Right.
That we acknowledge that. We know that. There's many reasons. It could be the manner in which we teach, the manner in which the child learns, the child's not at school, the child didn't understand. I mean, there's a plethora of items, and this isn't a gotcha. Our evaluation system is not a gotcha. We need to start looking at our evaluation system as a manner for which to improve instruction in the classroom, which will improve student learning. So our demeanor when we step into this is different than an I gotcha. That's not the purpose of this evaluation.
Member Michelson.
Thought you forgot my name there for a second. Katie, I have just one question. Since this is this whole process is, did the Department of Education do research in the rest of the lower 48 to see if there's a state that has had success with a similar process of teacher evaluation? And if so, did you guys get to look at that? And is there any comparison and the research that was done?
I don't know what research the state did when they pushed out the regulatory changes. I haven't looked at anything, what was presented to the state to try to get them in this direction. I don't know what their research was. But the Charlotte Danielson model is the most widely used national framework that school districts do. A lot of states have adopted it. Our state decided not to do that. There was a point in time where they thought about just requiring that we use the Charlotte Danielson framework, but they recognized that with the diversity that our state has, that districts need some discretion. But there are a number of states who've adopted the Danielson framework with a lot of success. And so there is a lot of research. We can share some of that with you. She's got it on her website where she talks about her model, how it was developed, and how it's helping school districts.
All right. Are there any other questions from the board? But you'll wait till January? Okay. All right. Thank you. Dr. Prama. I'm sorry, that's the end of the administrative report. So we're moving on to borough and city reports, and I do not see either of the regular city gentlemen here. So we will move on to Student Advisory Board Representative Report. Ms. Williams.
So today we had a meeting for the Student Advisory Board. We were at PGMS, where we had the pleasure of having Ms. Moffitt, Ms. Esery, Mr. Vervolo, Member Michelson, and Member Rutherford, Dr. Promo, and Rochelle Overstreet from my house to join us. We worked on our various committee meetings, various committee work, and have passed a resolution asking the school district administration to allow us to invite charter schools to our SAB meetings. We have a committee that is preparing a presentation for this board at this board's next meeting. We have created a communications committee that is designed to broaden our reach into the student body. Our service project for this meeting was Thanksgiving themed, as you can see below in front of the board. We made this poster for the district office about what we're thankful for. We also made one for Palmer Junior Middle School. Our next meeting is December 11th at Colony Middle School. We hope to see some of you there. We thoroughly enjoyed everyone who came and visited us today. We were happy to see all the faces, and the kids really did learn a lot from everyone's visits and everyone's input. So we just like to say thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. You guys are busy. Dr. Paramo.
Thank you, Madam President. I just wanted to remind the board that the bond project report will be given once a month at the first meeting, and so we will have the borough join us then for an update on our bond and all of our projects. Also, coming soon will be a budget revision, and that is due to our budget that we presented and adopted had a different student count, as well as different staffing levels at the schools. Once our student count came in higher, we would like to get that budget revised moving into the spring so it shows the actuals of the funds going into the classroom and other district areas, if you will. In speaking of that, most recently I did have an inquiry in regard to some job postings. And the Matsuburo School District is about 200 students above what we had projected, and many of those were intensive students. So students who had intensive needs, whom also had that multiplier, if you will, for the funding mechanism. With that responsibility of students is meeting their needs, and in speaking with Lucy Hope, the Director of Special Services, we have hired many aides for special education classrooms, as well as additional special education teachers. The lion's share of those funds went to those programs. In addition, the assistance that is in the response for assisting schools in the work that needs to be done with children to move them to the next level, the idea of the paperwork became the discussion of the special education paperwork. And as you know, you may know, in our preschools, we have preschools 4 days a week, so that the timely paperwork that is due for those students is completed. With that, we have looked into some specialists positioned for special education paperwork. That is what is dependent on our funding, that those are the documents that are audited for the funding. And so the positions that you might see on the website are those special education positions to help with records and record specialists. They will be located in the front offices of each school, if of the elementary schools. And high schools and middle schools will share the staffing. And we located them and made a requirement for these folks to be in the front office rather than a back room. The work can be done electronically, which is nice because all our special ed records are digital. But a few years ago, we removed school aides from front offices of schools when we did our early buyout or early retirement. And time and time again, it's come back to us that there are times in the day where the customer service and just the responsibility of that safety and safety checks becomes difficult because of the amount of parents in elementary schools. And so these staff that will be the record specialists will also be located in front offices, especially during those busy times of drop-off, lunch, and pickup. And so we're trying to accommodate the needs that we have heard back from teachers of special education, general education teachers, as well as office staff. And so we look to hire those positions. Those are positions that we look to continue. That would be in our budget as we grow as a district, and including special education students and intensive needs students. So I wanted to be sure that our board did understand the function of those positions. And finally, tomorrow night is a meeting in regard to Reddington junior senior high school, and it will be located at Goose Bay Elementary School. It is being hosted by the borough. They did send out invites to borough residents who live down that Kinnick arm there, and district office folks will be representing in for questions that come about the school district and the programs. We will be there to work cooperatively with the borough, but that should be exciting, as not only invites didn't only go out to parents of students in our district currently, but also just residents who would live around the school and want to know about their property, their traffic, things like that, and what's going to be at that school. So that is tomorrow night at Goose Bay Elementary School. And finally, we did kick off the design for the Denina Elementary School. It is using a similar footprint of Mockaton's and just including some upgrades. And we participated in that yesterday. So we are moving right along with our schools and our programs. It's an exciting time of year. I'm sure in the Board Connect you see many, many invites and lots going on with craft fairs, choir concerts, and the like, and we just hope and invite you to see as many as you can. I spend part of my contract, as you know, is to get out into schools, and every time I do it, I realize what a great job we have, and really what a great school system, and every school that I go to, it renews that love for teaching and learning. So I encourage you to do the same. Thank you.
All right. That moves us down to the consent agenda. Can I have someone move the consent agenda?
I move the consent agenda, the minutes of November 6, 2013.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection to passing this through? Seeing no objection, that item passes. Next, we'll move to action items. Can I have someone move action item A?
I move action item A, 14-035.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Do we have anybody in the audience who would like to make comment on this action item? We did have some discussion on this item last week, so unless there are questions.
Because we have people on the radio, I think we ought to at least tell them the title of the action item.
Okay, action item A, 14035, is Mat-Su Central School new course approvals. And there are, let's see, how many new course approvals? I asked if there was public comment. Nobody came forward. So I'm looking for the new course approvals.
There are five, Madam President.
Can you read those off for us, please?
Greenways Academy of Alaska, it's an online curriculum. Homeschool in the Woods, the Learning Springs Online Flexible Solutions, Logic of English, and Trail Guide to Learning Series.
Thank you, Member Dearman. It looks like we have talked about these before. Member Larson.
Yeah, we did, and I had some questions, and I was told that I would get some more information on each one of these courses and more explanation. And I'm just a little disappointed tonight that I never received that information at all or even a call on it. It probably slipped through the cracks. I realize that. So with some reluctance tonight, I will vote on a positive manner on this, but I still would like that information to come forward.
All right. Do we have any other comments, any discussion on these items? All right. Member Dearman.
Well, I was at Mat-Su Central School earlier today, and I have some information from Laura Porter there that at Mat-Su Central School, who sent more online curriculum information to me. I believe she also shared it with Mr. Vervelo. I don't know if this would help Member Larson at all. I don't know if now is the time. I don't know if Ms. Murphy has this information that she can help us out.
Dr. Prommel?
Yeah, Madam President, I think that we should reserve that for another time. Laura Porter was supposed to be present today, and she's not, and so we will follow up, and I take full responsibility for my team that we didn't come through on that. We'll do that.
All right. How do members of this board feel about voting on this, or can we put it off to the next meeting once we have more information? All right. I would like to make a recommendation that we pass this on to our December 4th meeting. Again, have it on the agenda as an action item, and then we will look at that once we have more information.
I'll make a motion that we move this item to, we postpone this item to time certain, December 4th meeting.
I'll second that.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded. We're putting this on the December 4th next meeting as an action item. I'm sorry, is there any objection with that? Seeing no objection, it's moved to the December 4th meeting. That moves us down to item B.
I move item B, which is 14-038, 35% design approval career and technical high school addition.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there anyone in the public who would like to speak on this matter? We have had a presentation, but I see that the architect is here if we have any questions. Is there any questions? All right. Is there any discussion on this item? All right. I'd like to say I think it's a beautiful school so far. So if anybody has any objection, now is the time to state it. Otherwise, this will move. All right. This item passes. We're down to item C, action item C.
I'll move item C14-040, new course approval, Holocaust and Genocide Studies.
Second.
This item's been moved and seconded. Is there anyone in the public who would like to make comment on this course study? Seeing no member of the audience, I'm sure we can ask questions. Do you have a question or do you want to move to discussion, Member Larson?
A discussion.
All right. Member Williams, do you have a question or is this discussion?
Discussion.
All right. So seeing no questions from the board, we'll move to discussion. Member Larson.
Last meeting, once again, I asked for the curriculum and some more information on this course, and I would reluctantly vote on a positive manner for this course, but I never received that information. Thank you.
For this course, this is an approval to begin a course, and so it has not been fully designed until there's approval because there's quite a bit of work. So the outline has been complete, but the actual detail is in the process, and it's on hold until there's approval whether a course like this, the board approves a course like this to be taught in our schools, because teachers do create those on their own. And so the actual work and specific detail was being held off for the syllabi, things like that, until the board approves it.
All right. Member Williams?
As a student, I just want to voice an opinion of support for this course. I think it's a really interesting subject to study. I also believe that it's something that we need to focus on to prevent these genocides is to educate students about how they happen, how they come about. So I just want to voice a student opinion of support.
Thank you, Member Williams. Member Larson.
Yeah, last meeting I had asked for some more information. It would have been nice to have maybe the person that's going to develop the syllabus to talk to me about it or send me the idea that they wanted. Thank you. and I didn't get that information. I had a lot of questions about it. And reluctantly, I will vote in a positive manner on this. But and I realize this is a syllabus, but it's a very important course. And I had some concerns about it. And I think it's almost a college-level course. And some of that information was given to me about being an upper-level course within the high school, but I really wanted a little bit more information. Thank you.
All right. Are there any comments from other members of the school board? All right. Seeing no comment. Is there any objection to moving this forward, approving this course approval? Seeing no objection, we will forward this course approval. That went really fast. Okay, so we are down to non-action items with no non-action items. That moves us right along to the oath of office for our new school board member, Ms. Tiffany Scott, and I believe Dr. Promo will be presenting that. All right, welcome, Member Scott. All right, so we're moving down to future items, future business. December 4th is our next meeting. It is one of the best meetings. It's a special recognitions meeting. Starts at 5 for a special recognition. recognitions. That's when we bring all the students in, people who've earned awards. It's a really great meeting, so I encourage everyone to come to that. At 6 o'clock, our regular meeting starts. December 10th, we have a joint assembly and school board meeting. That's going to be at the new assembly chambers. December 16th, we have a 6 o'clock reception with the MATSU legislative delegation. That's when we talk about, we thank them for the funds they have given us over the last year and show them what we've done with those funds. Also, we present a new request or a new blue book at that time. Is there any other future items, future business we need to put on our calendar? Okay, no further future items, future business. Moves us down to persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Member Welton, can you recap instead of running through? Thank you.
Okay. Speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting, and the speaker is limited to non-agenda items. And we are done with the agenda items anyway. Speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, and I think that's enough.
So if there is anyone who would like to be heard before the board tonight, now is your time to come forward. Come on up and state your name.
Hello, I'm Ariel Haas. I currently serve as the Student Advisory Board President for the MATSU District. I'm here with member Carly Williams, and we would like to, recently we had the opportunity to attend the Association of Alaska School Board Conference along with our school board members, as well as one of our members attended the Youth Leadership Institute. And we wanted to personally thank the school board and the administration from district office for supporting us in our student voice endeavors and for allowing us to go to that conference. It was an opportunity for us to spread student leadership from around the state, to learn more about what other school districts are doing and other students are doing with their academic successes, and an opportunity for us to learn more about our school board and what our school district is doing as in comparison to the rest of the field.
I think that covers it all.
So thank you, and I would like to reiterate what Carly said earlier, and we really do enjoy it when people come and visit our meetings and hear what we're doing from the student side of the district. We have a lot of really interesting things that we're working on this year, and we would love to see you again on December 11th. So thank you for supporting us, and thank you for helping us go to OSOB.
Are there any other members of the public who would like to be heard at this time? All right. Seeing none, we will move ahead to correspondence and board committee reports. Is there any board committee reports? Member Welton.
The policy committee met and went over the 7000 series, which is new construction, and we're going to look at some of the regulations to see if those have changed concerning the site selection and the size of property. And speaking with Mr. Carney this evening, he said yes, that there had been some changes in the code or something that allows the school district to have more discretion on the size of property, so we have to change that. We also are, as Ms. Gardner talked about, the policy changes that have to do with personnel. Those will come to us in January. There's also some instruction changes and some student concerns that there will be some policy issues that we look at again. There's no more, we're not going to have another policy meeting until the policies have are tweaked and worked on and brought to us to pass on to the board.
Okay, thank you. Any other committee members? Any other committee meetings? All right.
Is this the time that the board wants to make comment on AASB, or would you like to include that in your comments to the board? Okay. Why don't we save those for comments to the board? Was there any correspondence? Anybody would like to share? Okay. So that does move us down to comments from school board and administration. Dr. Paramo?
Thank you, Madam President. I just want to wish our board, our community, staff, everyone a happy Thanksgiving for next week. And we do go through Wednesday for school and then have Thursday, Friday off. So it should be a nice break for students. Thank you.
Member Dearman.
First, I would like to welcome Member Scott to the board. And this is really great because now Member Michelson and I are no longer the newbies. And it only took a month, so that's great. So welcome, and I'm sure that you will be a great asset. I'd like to say that I thoroughly enjoyed the 4 days in Anchorage at the AASB conference. I thought that it was a great introduction for new school board members, and it was a wonderful time getting to know this board. We had a wonderful time in the sessions together and after hours, and it was also a nice time meeting members from other school boards and seeing the challenges that they face and just getting to know folks and learning the ropes. So it was a wonderful time, and I thank the district for allowing us to attend that. I'm looking forward to Saturday attending Trapper Creek Elementary School's Holiday Bazaar, and then next Wednesday evening at Sioux Valley High School to see their rendition of Romeo and Juliet. It's supposed to be spectacular. So those are two great things happening in the Upper Valley, and I would also like to add my happiest Thanksgiving wishes to everyone. Thank you.
Member Williams.
I would also like to say welcome to Member Scott. It's nice to have someone slightly older than me. I would like to thank the board again for inviting us to AASB, and also to remind the board that our next meeting for SAB is December 11th at Colony Middle School. It's 9 to noon, so come on in anytime. We'd love to show you how we run things, what the students are up to. Students love to talk. So that wraps up my board comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Larson.
Welcome, Member Scott. I look forward to working with you. And congratulations. Also, I went to AASB. Enjoyed the sessions thoroughly. I did learn something very important in our attorney talk about our cell phones. I asked our attorney at the time, what about people, since this came up last year, what about people using cell phones during a meeting? And he said, you can freely use any electronics, but if you abuse them, and then he grabbed my cell phone and went up and said, I subpoena this if you do. So, you know, because we talked quite lengthy about a board policy at one time for it, but what he virtually says, you know, if you're going to abuse something, it'll simply get subpoenaed and we'll use it in court. So I thought that's probably a pretty good board policy in itself. But that's the kind of stuff we learned at AASB, and our students were excellent because they attended the same forums that we did and asked questions from a student perspective. And AASB actually, talking to a few of them, are starting to look at, yeah, we have this great big meeting, but we don't have students' perspectives, and they enjoyed that very much, and they're looking at doing more of that. And, again, Matt Souza, kind of one that stepped out to do that, and I appreciate that input that you guys had. Thank you.
Member Welton.
Well,
This morning I was at the Justice Coalition. It was a pretty good meeting to find out what was going on with the youth in our community and some of the problem areas and some of the programs and what's happening. We're looking for the Big Brothers, Big Sisters is looking for adults to work with young people that don't have opportunities to develop mentors, have mentors. And so there's a real need. We did hear about what's happening with youth court. I guess there was quite a few people that went through the bar exam, and they're all working to work with their peers to develop a better community focus and to try to stem the tide of any delinquency. And we had just good conversation. You've got my report from the AASB. I don't know. We're supposed to do a report of what we've done, and I've always just done something written. And you've got my 3 pages. It was packed, and I got to tell you that I was more interested in all of the things they were doing this time because it really, really was up my alley as far as the relationship issues and the things that happen to our students, and it goes right along with our Capturing Kids' Hearts. Elected to the Statewide Association of School Boards, and I appreciate that this board had supported me and had pushed through my nomination, and I know that Member Poucher, she and I both went through that interview process, and it's not a fun one, we'll work together and. I had my first meeting, and it is interesting because there's 15 members on the board, and so there's a lot more conversation, and the meetings go very long. We were able to put together some statewide strategies for our school boards. And I don't know that there's anything else that I appreciate it, and I want to wish a happy Thanksgiving to everyone, and welcome Member Scott.
Member Michelson.
I, too, appreciated the opportunity to go to the School Board Association meeting. I went through the boot camp along with Dr. Dierman down there, and that was a real eye-opener. Open meetings law, that breakout session, I think that second or third day. But also the... Saul did a bit for us with school law and gave us a 40 question quiz, true or false, with real life examples of how to apply the law in a district. And that was the whole meeting was just really tangible, very tangible stuff. So it was very, very informative. So I really enjoyed that. The trauma informed practices, I think on Saturday, that Title I school in Anchorage with the changes that they have gone through in the last couple of years in working with parents and with kids, I think, is a kind of a learning model probably for all of us. So that was just a really rich, rich experience for me. So I really, really appreciate the opportunity to be able to have done that. And I'll be the last one in line to then welcome Member Scott to the board.
And Member Scott, if you want to make a few comments, please feel free.
First, I just wanted to say thank you to all. I'm very humbled by this opportunity and look forward to working with you all for the next year.
Thank you. I attended AASB, of course. Also, I think one of the main benefits it gives to us is we meet with all the other school boards throughout the state. When we go as a whole, the AASB down to Juneau to lobby, it's really important that we understand each other's challenges when we go ask for continued funding or more funding, it's very important that they understand our challenges also. So we're not all fractured on what we're asking for, and we don't understand what's going on elsewhere in the state. So that's the main thing that I get from AASB, is I get to talk to other school boards, see what's happening in their districts. I do have to say we had a large district forum while we met with other large districts. And one of the large districts, our neighbors, were talking about new and innovative things they were doing, and they were all things that we've done here in the MATSU a couple years ago. So I didn't bring that up, but it was very interesting. Our school district is ahead of the curve in many innovative programs we do. So welcome, Member Scott, and happy Thanksgiving to all. I hope you have good times with your families. With that, if someone could move us into executive session, please.
I'll move that we go into executive session.
Second.
The executive session is for matters that immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the government unit, subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, provided the person may request a public discussion, matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be confidential, matters of confidential legal counsel, or pending litigation. Tonight it's CEA negotiations and MSEA negotiations, and in the executive session is the school board, Dr. Paramo, Mr. Fulp, and Saul Friedman, and Katie Gardner, and Jean Stone.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, we're moved into executive session.